Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. A lot.
A lot. All right. So, we got a lot to talk about this week. Monday Night Raw, the July 4th of July edition, I guess, for U.S. Holiday edition of Monday Night Raw in the books. Largely, you know, a holiday show, sort of a throwaway show, but the big thing to talk about, of course, is the angle involving Vince McMahon and John Cena.
Yeah, it really was a throwaway show. So, I mean, there's not a lot of other news coming out of it. So let's just get to what anybody gives a shit about, which is CM Punk, John Cena, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, so let's start with the beginning, I guess. Cena, of course, come out and said, you know, he doesn't agree with the decision to suspend CM Punk because of the freedom of speech and da-da-da-da-da, and that they had announced that it was going to be R-Truth, Rey Mysterio, and Alberto Del Rio in a three-way match to determine the new number one contender at Money in the Bank. So they did go through with that, and basically Cena in the opening said that he wants to defend the title against Punk. He wants Vince McMahon to come out later on in the show and explain, you know, why he did what he did. He wanted some answers, blah, blah, blah. And so then they go through with the three-way. Alberto Del Rio wins it to, quote-unquote, become the new number one contender for John Cena. And then, so they further the angle saying, you know, we're just going to move on, business as usual. It's like CM Punk never existed, and that promo never happened. And then they have the end where Vince comes out and basically said that CM Punk wanted more than he was worth. He was asking for too much money, making too many demands. He said he couldn't afford to let CM Punk have the title shot because he can't afford to have his champion leave and go to another promotion. You know, and plus, you know, they didn't say this in the promo, but it's presumed that CM Punk didn't want to drop the title in the U.S.
Yeah, in his hometown, Chicago.
Right, right. So, a little bit of Montreal there that they were kind of playing off of
well,
there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, Cena started talking about, you know, confiscating signs, firing Daniel Bryan, you know, Zack Ryder, things like that that he brings up. And then, you know, Cena just, you know, went back and forth with Vince, and Vince said, you know, I like to don't wind up like Hulk Hogan. I don't know, cripple? I'm not sure what he meant by that.
Broke.
Broke, yes. Yeah, exactly. Call 1-800-CALLATT.
Yeah, no
brother.
Or having a segment of a bullshit of a week.
Yes, yes. The John Cena bullshit of the week?
We could do that.
Maybe. But anyway, Cena got mad, said if you can't defend the title at the Punk, then the title isn't worth anything, and he gave the belt back to Vince, and Vince went chasing up after him. You know, after the ramp and said, you know, okay, he's got it. Punk gets his match. And with the caveat that if Punk leaves Chicago as the champion, then John Cena, you're fired.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the show ends.
Okay, do you have any comments you want to hit on this, or do you want me to just jump in?
Go right ahead. Go right
ahead. Okay, we've been hearing reports on the spoilers about this, talking about what a good segment this was. Having seen it, it didn't really do as much for me as I had hoped. Of course, the CM Punk itself was so fucking brilliant.
Well, yes.
Right? But this is, and we kept on talking about how the CM Punk thing seemed real.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, to me, seemed like you have the cartoon Vince McMahon and the "you're fired" voice. And he's doing that Cena. He's doing that whole voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have Cena, who's always the jokey guy, mm-hmm. now, and I'm serious and free of speech, and I'm just – and he – because it's – Cena is a human being who I never find sincere,
mm-hmm.
ever. It hurt this – program, which to me had been built up on a basis of a reality the week before.
Right.
As far as the actual content, it's pretty good. I mean, nobody, I don't think any gives a shit about the Cena firing angle. I'm curious as to where they go from it from here. They have so many options open to them as far as Punk winning, Punk losing, somebody else coming in with the Money in the Bank. You know, they have a lot of options from that.
Yeah, so if Cena...
But the actual, this promo to me, was not a money promo because it was a cartoon guy and a guy who I never believe in.
Now, if Cena loses, then he's fired. If he wins, does he join Nexus?
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? I was thinking this. Remember how we kept on talking about how we could have him join Punk's group?
Mm-hmm.
He could lose and be fired, and that could be an impetus for him to join that group. So that's why I say they have a lot of ways they could go.
You could take a purple pill for that, by the way.
It could also... For impetus?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No. That's good. I don't need to take that when I'm with your mom.
I need to take it when I'm with your mom. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well...
Shave her mustache. But it's something that... I agree with you to an extent that this isn't, you know, the super-ass follow-up. You know, it got more into these two cartoon
characters. Of course, it was also like
3
in the morning when they did this, so maybe that hurt the performances
too.
It could have
been, right? It could have been. But, you know...
They're just about to go ask in a couple hours CM Punk for some autographs.
I'm just... Yeah, exactly. Well, week two, though, it furthered it, at least.
It furthered the angle,
it
yeah.
It furthered the angle, and, I mean, I do... I, you know, I can remember some weeks on, you know, with Austin McMahon that, you know, weren't that great, but they furthered things a little bit, right? But and that's to me what this was.
But that was different, though. The company was hot, and the angle was hot, and it was already working. It wasn't week two and such a steep drop-off.
Well, I'm talking, you know, the beginnings of things, of getting these things going. But, I mean, you know, with Dude and Love and things like that, I just think that...
Oh, I thought the Dude Love stuff was great.
Well, yeah, I like it, too, but not all of it. It had its moments where.
How about when he's just doing the thing with it, where he's doing the thing with his knees? You put the hands on.
Yeah, you're actually doing them right now. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That thing, yeah. Well, just like you type, I've been doing that
you
dance.
Do
that,
the dance. Okay.
You know, I don't know what they call that.
The juke.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a juke.
It's
the junkyard dog. No, you know about the juke.
There
Let me tell you
go.
About the juke. Yeah,
there you go.
It's a juke. Yeah. But grab them cakes. But anyway. I think
another one bites the dust.
I think it was a furthering of the angle, and I'm hopeful. I don't know this, you know, as a time that we do this here on Thursday, that Punk or Wednesday. I'm sorry, to go up.
We didn't. I didn't see the. We could, I guess we could look it up. It doesn't really matter.
Booker.
We know. I heard the ratings were down a little bit, but you know, we don't know the actual impact. It doesn't have the same buzz, but I mean, you couldn't expect the same buzz because even though it's just aired, I mean. The spoilers were out there, right?
But the go-home is next week, and that's, to me, the important part as to where they kind of go with this, what they do. And as I said last, you know, on Sunday, is just, you know, we're going to be judging this more long-term than show-by-show.
Yeah.
But it isn't, you're right, two blowaways in a row.
Like I say, a lot of people enjoyed it. And
I don't think they ruined it, though.
No, they didn't ruin it. Like I say, I just... The feeling of realism that made this unique was gone, like I say, cartoon character. And at the end of the day, I just kept on looking at Cena going, well, I just hate the guy.
I don't know that you could have kept up realism on a fake show, for God's sakes. I mean, it's somewhere along the way, you know, you got to be back on the work. And so you could, regardless of what they did, you know, with Punk, you know, should Punk be...
I guess the work shoot part could just be sticking on Punk. And I mean, they did still do work shoot stuff. Don't get me wrong. You can say it is a work, but I mean, they brought up the signs. They brought up the Zack Ryder. I mean, there was the work shoot stuff there. It's just unfortunate. Like I say, it comes back down to cartoon character, guy who I believe is a phony. You know, when it's these two interacting and it feels like the lines are being shared instead of an actual moment, that's where it just, like I say, I'm disappointed. I'm still really interested in the angle.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's interesting to see that you look at this and you go, if you don't try and douche, who's the biggest douche?
Brian Giewertz.
There we go. If we don't try and do a work shoot constantly, then when you actually do one and you save it, it can actually be impactful.
Sometimes he doesn't feel fresh.
Whereas if it's Impact Wrestling,
even after
and you're
challenge.
Doing it all the time, it's never impactful, ironically enough. And I would think it's got to backstage. I mean, I would think that Hogan and Bischoff and Russo, they got to be scratching their heads going, what the fuck did they do right that we didn't do right with ours? Because we do this all the time. Why are they getting so much buzz from it when we're not?
I don't think Hogan does, but maybe. And I don't even know that. I think Russo definitely. But I don't think Hogan, and to a lesser degree, I don't think Bischoff cares, to be quite honest. But, yeah, I do see Russo scratching his head going, well, you know, I don't see him scratching his head. I assume think see
scratching
him
his balls, I could see.
Hmm? Yeah, you assume he has them. But I see him just going, we should be doing more of this.
Yeah, that's
and,
what scares
and
that, the shit
and,
out of me.
And, so just don't watch. Then you know, if I don't watch Impact, it doesn't break my heart, quite frankly. But what I think about this is that, you know, week two, I said I'm going to keep giving it a chance.
Yeah.
They haven't ruined it for me yet. What do you think about...
when Punk is technically back, we should expect him next Monday, and it should be awesome.
Possibly. I mean, he's technically back. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows, right? They may continue the deal where he doesn't get promo time because he's too controversial. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? With depends on... I think it really does depend on how much... say Punk has in this story.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think Punk being a good wrestling guy, I mean, that's why Punk is silent still on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he didn't say anything in the week after Raw. So it's he knows, you know, what the game is here. So he's very good. What do you think about 2 weeks now in a row, Hulk Hogan being mentioned and being, I don't want to say prevalent on it, but he's a guy that now, again, 2 weeks in a row, they've stuck out, you know, with Vince going, don't be like Hogan, and da-da-da.
I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't really think it means anything, because number one, they're not at all threatened by Impact Wrestling.
No.
They certainly aren't threatened by the idea of Hogan drawing ratings or a buy rate himself because he's too broken down.
But
and
see,
you can't ignore his the fact that he is the history of the company. He's like 25% of it. I mean, how can you 100% ignore him? And especially if you want to reference the past.
Well, but do you want to reference the past? Do you talk about ass kissers? You couldn't talk John Cena. You're an ass kisser like The Rock?
Well, they did that too.
Yeah, well, but then they're bringing in Hogan as well and saying, don't be like Hogan. And
well, they want to build up Cena in people's minds as being the Rock, the Hogan of his era, as being as big as those guys, because he's not.
Okay.
But they want to create that image.
Well, what I got out of it is that when you say, I think it is a declaration that we don't give a fuck about you, Hulk Hogan.
No, they
because
don't. They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. But if we did, you know, we wouldn't bring you up because you don't bring up your competition. You don't bring up, you know, someone.
Triple brother.
Yeah. You don't bring up someone that, you know, you go.
Well, it's going to take them only 6 months to be number one.
That's right. But, well, you don't want them to – you don't want to bring up someone that is going to have people going, where is that he? I haven't seen him in a while. And that's when they mention Hogan. It's
but even if people do see Hogan now, they'll go, oh, that's Hogan. That's great. They'd watch him 1 week. By the second week, they'd be going, God, he's not what he used to be.
They wouldn't even watch him. I just think it would –
even if they did, they'd be like, he isn't what he used to be.
Yeah, but they wouldn't, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, it's true.
It's a declaration of you are now so – such a non-factor,
mm-hmm.
Hogan, that, you know what, we can just bring you up anytime we want because we don't think anything of you. And that to me, that's what that was. That's what
okay.
both.
Can I ask you something else about CM Punk here then? That promo, because now that we've had a time to look back on it and so many people have weighed in on it.
Well, you definitely have. A lot.
It's the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I've weeded in on it. I don't actually get on Twitter and tweet. I got on Witter and wheat.
We can edit that out, right?
But we could.
Okay.
We won't. What I'd like to, Do you think there's anybody else out there who could have cut that promo, or do you think it's only CM Punk?
Yeah, I think it's only Punk.
Really?
I don't see anybody else.
Because it was so good.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there isn't anybody else that could do it. I don't know if Chris Jericho or Mick Foley.
Oh, in terms of your delivery, absolutely. You know, Foley, Jericho. I was thinking about Foley. I was thinking about Foley as someone that could be a part of this group.
Yeah.
In terms of a managerial disgruntled person, but Steve Austin could have cut that promo. You know, lots
of. But also just the content and just. Maybe not exactly like Punk, but similar.
No.
You don't think there's anybody else? You don't think Christian or...
Christian, maybe. Because Christian's got a similar story in that, you know... Christian actually has more lengthy stories. You know, I busted my ass for you for over 10 years, and yet you treat me like shit, so I left. And then I came back... You know, with the promise of a new day, and you gave me the ECW title, and then you still treated me like shit.
That's
so
true.
Christian's got that similar
story.
How
about this? I mean, you've heard shoot promos and interviews with Charlie Haas,
right?
And he's incredible, and yet they saw him as a guy with no charisma. So if he was just up there sitting quietly on the stage and telling his story. You don't think he could have, maybe not quite at the level of Punk, but I'm not so sure it would have been.
Definitely not quite at the level of
Punk. I'm not so sure it would have been that far behind. I'm not sure he is the only guy who could have done this.
Well,
I think maybe he's the most effective.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot of people who are in the same, let's say.
Well, there's Shelton Benjamin, there's Charlie Haas.
Nah, Benjamin, I don't think could have, because I don't think he's just a good enough talker. I think.
Oh, well, when you talk about that, I'm just talking about the story. I mean, you got Christian, you got Haas. I mean, but when you got Haas, he goes up there at the top of the ramp and cuts that promo, and the crowd would be chanting, "Who's that guy? Who's that guy?"
Depends on how it's done, and it depends on how good it is.
Yeah. No one right now, today, could go out, cut the same promo that CM Punk was, aside maybe from Christian, and have it mean the same.
See, I'm not so sure. I think there's a lot of people that could have cut not
no,
quite as good.
No, you cannot tell me that Charlie Haas could go out on Raw, cut that promo, because part of it needs to be a backstory. And CM Punk has been around and in
and that's
and
his
out.
Advantage. I'll agree with you.
And
I'm not saying it would be as good. I'm saying, though, that I think there's some people who would be maybe living in the same neighborhood. And that's just a name. For instance, Charlie Haas is a name that came up. But I think I think a Chavo Guerrero could have been in the same neighborhood, to be honest with you. I really do think there's people out there. I don't think it's just CM Punk that could have done this. I think CM Punk would have been the best of all of them because he is so talented.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot of people that could have done something
similar.
Well,
we talked about that last show. Is it who could join this group of people? And I said it would be a shorter show if we talked about people that couldn't be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that includes people that have been... let go. You talk MVP. You know, there's lots of guys that could come out and low-key could come out and cut that promo and do it in a rap form and talk about total nonstop action.
Yes, yes. Well, let's move off of, off of this topic?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a quick question I want to ask you.
Oh,
here's something I'm just, a quick hit question.
Okay.
That I've been wanting to get to, and, I'm just kind of curious. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
All-time great, right?
Of course.
Top, what would you say? Top 50, top 20, top whatever that you've seen. Where would you place him?
Yeah.
Would you place him?
Oh, I would put him in the top 25.
Top 25.
Sure.
Okay. Ricky Steamboat, top 25 guy all-time for you and I think for me as well. When you think back on Ricky Steamboat and his career, do you consider him a WWF guy or a NWA/WCW guy?
With Ricky the Dragon is probably in a unique position where I think that he is a guy, and I'm trying to think of another one. He probably is the biggest example that comes to mind is that he's a 50-50 guy.
He really is.
He's a guy that you talk about the Intercontinental Champion, and we've talked, of course, at length about his match with Randy Savage and such, and then being against Flair then. If anything, I would tend to lean towards he's WCW guy, only because he won the NWA title, Chi-Town Rumble, that deal. He went on and feuded with Steve Austin and Rick Rude and really, you know, took that from, you know, till, oh God, like, what is it, 94 there. And he was in the tag team with Shane Douglas as well. So I would look towards him probably closer to be an NWA guy. It's just one of those things that he was there for the beginnings of WrestleMania and also had that WrestleMania 3 match. You know, he was there to first four years of WrestleMania. But then you talk about before that, though, too, with Jay Youngblood and those. The tag team was before in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess I'd have to say that, you know, an NWA, WCW.
First time I saw him was in WWF. The strongest image was the Mania 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he did come back there, and he's there now.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, you really look at the amount of years he put in,
mm-hmm.
and it leans towards, the
NWA, WCW, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just kind of strange to me, because I was just thinking that to myself the other day. It's like, I consider him a WWF guy, and yet, should I?
Well,
I think there's very few guys you can say that about.
It's just because it's...
I mean, Hulk Hogan, despite his years, you know, in WCW...
is a WWF guy.
He's a WWF guy.
Right.
Right? Steve Austin, despite that, is a WWF guy. Booker T, despite how long he was in WWE, still a WCW guy.
Yeah.
And Ricky Steamboat, I think, is just kind of unique in that particular situation as the...
Lex Luger's a WCW guy.
Absolutely he is. Know. Yeah.
It's that's who I was kind of trying to draw a comparison. I think, and if you go on that same, I think Luger and Steamboat probably, Steamboat spent a little bit more time, but probably percentage-wise in terms of overall span of the career, Luger and Steamboat probably had the same percentage of, you know, WCW, WWF time. But again, it was the WrestleMania 3, Savage, Steamboat, the Crushed Larynx, that's his most famous angle, out, you know, and probably his most famous match out, maybe, if not for, again, I say Chi-Town Rumble.
Well, I mean, yeah, he had the Chi-Town Rumble, and he had the...
he had a great series with Flair.
Yeah, not just Chi-Town Rumble. What was the other one?
Wrestle War. The Spring Stampede match in 94 when he came. So, I mean, it was... he had great matches in both, but I think it's just the history that's written about, you know, WrestleMania 3 and how that was such a standout match. You know, Ric Flair used to go, I don't know if you know this, 60 minutes every night.
I heard.
And so his...
sold out, right?
Sold out. But every time, so I mean that... But WrestleMania 3, Savage Steamboat, to have that wrestling clinic that they had was the exception, not the rule. And until Owen and Brett... WrestleMania 10, that was the, and I'm doing air quotes here on a radio show, wrestling match.
We really got to get a webcam on.
Of the first 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a wrestling match, though, of the first 10 WrestleManias. Yeah. That was the match. Whereas, I think in the NWA, WCW, you know, they had matches like that a lot. Or not even like that. But
Barry Windham and Ric Flair, my favorite all-time Ric Flair opponent. Unbelievable matches up and down the loop around that era.
When you think of that one that's on the Flair DVD of him and Barry Windham that was WCW Worldwide, was the whole show was just that one match.
Yeah, incredible.
You know, and so things like that there were more of in WCW. So, you know, while that match was great, and I don't ever want to take anything away from Chi-Town Rumble, it was not so much of an exception as Savage Steamboat was at WrestleMania 3. To make it stand out. So
okay, all right. I'm going to hit one more really quick hit topic, just because I wanted to hit this with the CM Punk. The Rock responded to this. The Rock said that the reason why he's main eventing, told CM in his Twitter, said the reason
he's main eventing
WrestleMania is because he'll draw more. It's about drawing money. And he'll draw more money as the main event of WrestleMania than CM Punk will draw in his entire lifetime.
Or has drawn his entire lifetime, or
will draw is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Just want to. Any thought on that?
Is
that just workers working?
Yeah, it's somewhat of workers working. It's trash talk.
Yeah.
Okay, whether he's working or not, whether he's just, you know, busting the guy's balls or working, you know, it's trash talk. It's, you know, and but the gist of it, the message, I guess, of it, I agree with, is that, you know, Rock, Cena will draw more money than Punk and whoever right now.
Absolutely.
Now to say, you know, I'll draw more money than you ever did. Well, okay, well, time will tell, right? Let the, you know, that's what we will in your lifetime. Well, it might not be, but yeah, time will tell, and that's where the trash talk comes in, right? Yeah. I mean, he very well, if Punk actually does quit and he goes home and he doesn't come back, or he goes to Ring of Honor, he goes to Japan for a while, he very well, and then he comes back and he's just a, you know, a low level or a mid level or up or mid guy, because they never will bring him back to that top level or whatever.
No,
and
of course not. He's a Heyman guy.
And then he brings his money and he's retired. Yeah, then Rock could very well be right that he has drawn more than Punk ever will in his life. But we, of course, Punk still thankfully very much alive and well, so we don't know yet.
Yeah.
So, but that's I just chalked that part up to trash talk.
Well, if you'll remember, The Rock, in his book that came out, The Rock says, 1998 or 1999,
what
it was 99.
What a literary masterpiece that was.
One of the things that was constantly said in there, there's, The Rock does what The Rock does better than anyone else, which is talk trash.
Yes, yes.
So let's just chalk it up to that. We're currently recording this as Impact is going on. I generally watch Impact 2 to 3 days late if I see it at all, because it is Impact. But I do have some interest in this one. I will be watching because of the Destination X pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You said this before.
I generally watch Impact when I'm out of bamboo shoots to shove under my toenails.
Generally, exactly. But both of us are agreeing that we're very excited for Destination X.
Indeed we are.
And we're hoping that everybody listening to this purchases it and see if we can make a statement to the company. Now, we probably can't because,
Russo's a fuck.
Well,
and
not only
Dixie
that,
Carter's
but
a cunt.
It's like there's complaints that Vince McMahon has always said he listens to the fans, you know.
Well,
but
he always said that.
Well, no, he said, but he has said that in the
but
past.
But he has said
he
that.
He has. You and I were talking about what a Jim Cornette would see from our ROH review, which was largely positive, but saw some constructive criticism that worked on.
Yes.
And that he would actually probably be open to that because we're paying customers who care, and he's not. Whereas the TNA's attitude is the paying customers who care, who gives a fuck about them, they're hardcore, we already got them.
Mm-hmm.
They only know about wrestling. They don't know anything about the real business. And so we're going to ignore that because we need to reach that casual fan instead of making that fan base you already have excited about the product. But anyways, that's because they're assholes. But anyway, so true. So we talk about, hopefully, though, people being interested in making a much higher purchase.
Their new head of talent relations.
What?
Their new head of talent relations.
For love?
He loves you.
Yeah. We're talking, though, hopefully, about a high buy rate for this. Destination X to send a statement to the company. Now, Eric Bischoff, of course, did in the promotional video for this, said it wasn't his idea to do this pay-per-view.
No.
This was the – I don't know why anybody would want to watch this. This was the network's idea that they wanted to see these guys.
Mm-hmm.
He basically buried the shit out of it. And I understand he's in character, but it's still counterproductive.
Well, it's stupid.
So exactly. But I'm really excited for it, and I hope people are going to purchase it. Everybody buy it.
And people
seriously
get a little bit upset about this on a couple levels. I mean, like you said, it's a stupid thing to say to promote it. I realize he's in character because, quite frankly, that's what that is character, because he doesn't actually believe that. I mean, he's the one that really, to a national level, after he stole them from ECW and Paul Heyman was bringing these guys in and saw they could work that way, brought guys in onto Nitro and had the cruiserweights and things where Vince really didn't. And you can talk about ECW all you want. That was very much a niche deal where not a lot of people saw
it. Well, his belief at the time was they could give something different. They couldn't draw money on top, but they could give something different on the undercard to give a unique flavor to the show.
That's right. So. Yeah. But so when he says, you know, I don't know why anybody would want to watch that and stuff, like, I mean, pretty, like, I can speak fairly confidently that he doesn't actually believe that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But anyways, just to get back, hopefully he doesn't still believe that. But Either way, it was
I'm not sure that he ever did, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bad choice of words, but I'm really excited about it. I'm really hoping people purchase it. Let's go through the spoilers, because this is going on live here.
Well, can we run down the card, or what?
Yeah, that's basically
we're going to run.
Because it's going to do this as kind of a lead into the card, because there's not a lot of matches on the card that are really announced. Not really. So we got. Let's actually just run down the card. Okay, let's do that.
Because you get a headache reading it.
Abyss versus the
Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick.
Is the Brian
the
Kendrick.
Main event, I suppose? Or do you think it will go on last?
No,
God, for the X Division title.
No, it won't.
No?
I don't think so. I think you got to do Daniels and AJ.
Okay. Okay. Daniels and AJ's. Okay, so talk
do
about
do you
that
know then. The card or what?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, there's only like five matches announced. Dude.
Okay, so we talk about it's Kendrick and Abyss for the X Division title.
Yeah.
So, I mean, probably will be I don't know if it'll be the worst match on the show. It'll be a different match. This is the one where it won't be sort of a purely kind of a cruiserweight match where it'll be, you know, a little guy bumping for big guy. Probably the whole, oh my God, he got him down, you know, with a missile drop kick off the top rope or something. Can he get the big man down? That sort of match. Who wins? In the lead up to me, I don't see that Kendrick has necessarily been portrayed as, say, you know, this savior of the cruiserweight champion, or we're going to bring his back to the little guys, or, you know, whether the vanilla midgets are going to get their belt back or whatever the deal is. I don't see necessarily Kendrick as that guy, you know, that as much as he's Bully Ray, you know, Abyss is really, you know, someone that's bullying the cruiserweights around.
Many years ago, when AJ Styles was a babyface champion and they were still in the asylum in Nashville, he and Abyss had a series of matches on the pay-per-view for the title. Really, really good shit.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm hoping that this match can kind of...
lead to that?
It could lead to that, but even just capture that moment and have that good small man versus big man. They're both talented guys. I mean, Abyss is a talented big man. Mm-hmm.
He's not doing stupid shit.
And Kendrick's, obviously very talented as well. So I'm hoping that could be. My hope is that that's going to be 3 stars or maybe a little above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we got.
If Kendrick does win, then that unbelievable pairing of the Brian Kendrick and Big Zeke would both be champions.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles.
AJ
you say
Styles.
That's the real main event? You
gotta
see that's the match that should go on last.
Gotta be the main event. Gotta be the main event. Because that is TNA, right?
They've had two previous, they've had many great matches and many matches as partners as well. But one of the things that was really interesting was that they have had 2 30-minute Iron Man matches, which both be considered classic, each one of them winning one. So I kind of thought they would be going into this, making this an Iron Man match, and who knows, they still might last second do that.
Yeah.
I would not be at all against that. But,
nope.
There's almost no chance that this isn't 4 stars and above.
Yeah, I would hope that that's I would hope that would be correct, and I hope it goes 30 minutes regardless of the Iron Man stip or not. So then we've got Samoa Joe against Kazarian.
Yeah, so they're real-life good friends. They put them in this match because they felt that...
because they're real-life good friends.
Yeah, exactly. They thought they would have a great match together instead of putting that in the three-way, which they had originally discussed.
Well, they wouldn't put both of them in the three-way.
No,
then
well,
it would be
Joe
a four-way.
Joe in the moron. I think everybody knew what I meant. But
Brian Alvarez didn't.
No?
Can't do math.
Anyways, I had to cut myself off from saying something there.
Okay. Anyway, Frankie Kazarian and Samoa Joe are good friends, as you
this
said.
This is the first time in a long time that we're going to see, hopefully, the Samoa Joe of 5 years ago. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we're going to see that Samoa Joe. I'm hoping he's still got it and wants to show it because, you know, when he's working with the Pope and he's in angles more and he's working with, a Matt Morgan.
Where did those
we don't
dogs
get to
go?
See – I don't know, man.
Okay.
But we don't get to see the Samoa Joe that excited the fan base. It's the first time we're going to get a chance to see it in a long time. I mean, there's so many. What's interesting about this is I can't look at any of these matches and go, fuck, these guys aren't going to try to steal the show. Everybody's like, everybody's got to be motivated to try and steal that show.
Yes.
And this match as well. It should be really, really good. We keep on talking about Samoa Joe, but Kazarian is not exactly...
no slouch either. Is
no, he's one hell of a hand.
Yes.
So, again, I'm really excited for that one. You have to think the Samoa Joe would go over if they're planning to at all rebuild him, but who knows. I don't know who, if it matters so much who goes over
between these matches. Really,
and that's one of the things that's
interesting. Right?
I don't really care who goes over. I just want good quality matches.
That's right.
Except for I would like to see Abyss lose that title at this pay per view. I mean,
would you? Yeah,
I would, because going forward from it, if you want to put the focus back in the X Division in a regular way, then I think you need to get it off them right away.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, I don't disagree with that. I'm not. I do think he needs to, especially if you're building the X Division up from this pay-per-view, if this can sort of successfully do that, and it's to say, you know, this is TNA, so of course they'll go back to business as usual at the following taping, of course, and forget that this ever happened, even if it does, you know, triple their buy rates or do whatever, which, you know, means the 27 people
27
would buy
people.
It. But if that happens again, I still think it's business as usual, so if they are building it, then yeah, okay, maybe you drop it from Abyss and not, if not now, very soon to come out of that. Mm-hmm. To me, it's just a matter of I don't know if Kendrick is the right guy for
it. Well, we've never really, why not? I mean, because I look at Kendrick, I go, he's good, he's underused. I would love to see him regain that Brian Kendrick's personality, because I thought that
kind of has that a little bit with the yoga and just being.
This is more like a weird Brian Kendrick. Probably really close
to
his real life guy.
The Brian Kendrick was kind of weird too.
Yeah,
not even kind of weird. He was.
Well,
weird.
Everyone was comparing that character to Brian Pillman. I didn't really see it himself, but either way, I mean, I'd like to see.
Yeah. It was in the look.
It was a little bit in the persona, and
the shit that he wore. But anyway.
Because I could look at him, though, and go, okay, if coming out of this, I see Brian Kendrick defend the title against AJ Styles, and then defend it against Christopher Daniels, then defend it against Kazarian,
sure.
And then defend and get 20 to 30 minute matches, then he is the guy, because
Douglas
he
Williams
is
match.
That good. And why not use this opportunity to make another star if you can? Because they need him.
Well, that I agree with you there. It's just, unfortunately, I just think that they'll...
So anyway, speaking of motivated, and we talk about all these matches, like it's like, that's the one that could steal the show? Well, another show-stealing type match, then how can you
something
deny?
Something that could be the whole effing show, you think.
Exactly. They talk about your motivated guys. I mean, if Rob Van Dam has anything left in any pride left, Jerry Lynn, we know he does. It's just a matter of whether or not he can go.
Well,
this is a match that has the most question marks. Many ways, I want to see it so bad. I've been wanting to see it for so many years.
Well, and that's the thing is, I'm curious about it. I don't know if the ship, unfortunately, when they were going to do it at the Hardcore Justice last August, I was really excited about it. And then Lynn got hurt, and this is going to...
We were actually going to purchase that pay-per-view and did not after that injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, thank God, because then we would have been subjected to the rest of that terrible card.
That fucking
whereas this time, we're going to still see it and be subjected to a tremendous card, it appears.
Well, yeah, hopefully, anyway. And I mean, it's something that... with Jerry Lynn, that's the question mark, is where, what can he do, what's he going to do? And really, this is only his second or third match, I believe, since that.
I'm not even sure it's that.
And
I'm not even sure he's had any matches since
then. Well, he had the one on Impact.
And
I think he's had at least one or two. But I mean,
it wasn't really in the ring long, though. That was not really an extended...
but I'm just saying that, you know, in terms of his dad, we don't really know, and that's the question mark you say, and that's
he's like 47 or 48.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But he is in many ways the Randy Couture of wrestling, or at least he was until this injury.
In that he's looked the same for the last 20 years.
Well, that as well, but also that he has you wouldn't have known physically that he was as old as he was because he hadn't seemed to have lost a step.
That's very true.
And let's go to the last match that we have. It's a four-way match for an Impact Wrestling contract. It's Austin Aries, Shima Zeon, or Zima Eon. I'm not sure how you pronounce. I'm not. What are they using with this guy?
Okay.
It's a Jersey All-Pro wrestler, though.
Right.
Yeah. Loki, a.k.a. Senshi, a.k.a. Kaval. And Jack Evans, who has been wrestling the last few years in Mexico.
Blitzkrieg.
And was in, yeah, Blitzkrieg. It was, no, but was wrestling in Mexico, was in ROH for a while, if you're not familiar with him. Possibly the most spectacular high flyer you could imagine, and a frequent tag team partner of Teddy Hart.
Sorry about that.
Well, they're pals. So, yeah. Anyways.
Sorry about that.
Hey, look, Teddy Hart, talented motherfucker.
Well, but the word you got to use there is motherfucker.
Yeah, you got to highlight that, unfortunately. But both parts of that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, too bad. Sad story.
But yeah, I mean, so what are you thinking on that? One person gets a – I think it's very interesting because you want Jack Evans in there, if you ask me. I mean, I think all these guys are going to be with the company, most likely.
Well, that's
but,
the
I mean,
thing,
I think,
right?
You Winner do want Jack Evans because he's so fresh and new. But, I mean, Loki's a big name coming off of you know, WWE. And
well, Loki's
you know,
just a big name. Loki's just a big name coming off anything. He's
yeah,
just
exactly.
A big name.
Incredible talent and has history with the company.
Right.
You would think unless he doesn't want to actually sign a contract and be there permanently – you would think you'd want him. And then you got Austin Aries, and I can't imagine Austin Aries not staying with the company. So there's a lot of intrigue for me on this one as to who actually wins, and then they could go with the surprise and give it to the least known character as well. So what do you think of the – is this a Destination X match, do you know?
What do you mean?
Because it is for a contract. Is it a Destination X
– An Ultimate X
match, yes.
I was going to say, is this a Destination X match? Huh.
It is taking place
I'm pretty sure that's what we were doing, is running down the card. I don't – not that I've heard. I just heard it's a four-way. But
because I did hear there was going to be one of those on the event, and I'm not sure if there is or isn't, if it's going to be this or
well,
if
we still
have...
haven't – I mean, we still haven't talked about whether he's going by Sangria or Amazing Red, Generation Me still
– because these guys aren't actually announced for the card. But there is a lot of guys out there they could put out there in some sort of – you could do an Escape the Cage match. You could do a Ultimate X.
Is Homicide involved?
No, because they actually will get out of the cage.
Oh.
Not an Asylum match because that was in the six-sided ring. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Well, and they said that this was going to be tremendous high-flying, so this is in its cruiserweight.
Hey, Homicide
so
ain't with ROH anymore.
When you talk about high-flying, you talk about high and cruiser and – cruiser, Jeff Hardy. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, and we won't.
No, we won't.
But whatever happened with his trial? Is that finally finished or not?
I believe there's a continuance.
No way.
I know.
Get the fuck out of here.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, really, what you got to look? Yeah, there are talent. I mean, you said five matches, 3 hour show, probably get about seven matches on a 3 hour show.
Then you could go with five matches and have those all. I mean, five matches is what the UFC puts on a show.
Well, exactly, and,
so,
and
a three-hour show.
And,
so.
And you can look at if you said five, and you know, with videos and shit, if they were a half an hour,
yeah,
you know, four times half an hour is 2 hours, so five is 2.5 hours. Plus, then you have 15 minutes, so five probably actually, given what we'll get for length, that's probably all the matches we'll get. There might be one more if there may be a free
yeah,
show.
Yeah, there could be one or two
or
more, but
I mean, you got Shannon
I wouldn't necessarily
Moore,
count on it. This might just be the card. But, I mean, it depends. I mean, if Lynn succumbs to them and says, you know what, I can only go 10 minutes, then you have to adjust things too, right?
Well,
so,
then you have to give Daniels and AJ 10 or 15 more minutes. Darn.
So speaking of cruiserweights and speaking of Impact Wrestling and the company TNA, really? I think we better hit All Wheels Wrestling.
All
we hit a little
wheels,
bit of it one
wrestling.
Week ago.
Woo-hoo! This sounds fabulous.
No, it doesn't. This sounds like shit on a stick.
With, yes, shit on a pole.
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. And I said the previous week when we talked about this upcoming project owned by Hermie Sadler and TNA co-owned, running on the Speed Network. I said that I wasn't sounding good, but I was going to hold off until I saw it. Well, now that I've seen the spoilers, I don't even need to see this shit. I am prepared to rip it a new asshole.
I believe your exact words were, "I'm sorry to say, but this sounds like shit." In which I told you, I'm not actually sorry to say that, because if it sounds like shit, I'll come out and say it sounds like shit. And does this ever sound like shit?
Oh my god, yes. Dude, this is possibly... I can't even... It looks to be as poorly constructed as anything I've seen in a long time.
Oh, it's so basically what the concept is are 5-minute Iron Man matches.
Yeah, yeah.
And
because you are an Iron Man if you can last 5 minutes, you know.
Well, it's...
What would that make if you're an Iron Man if you can last 5 minutes? What does that make Greg Valentine?
Oh my God! What does that make me with your mom?
Yeah, well, you don't last that long.
No, but if I could, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, good right? point.
Yeah, most falls.
Most falls.
But I mean, it's all just shit. I mean, every time you score a decision, you earn a point for your fucking team, right? And it's just like, who cares? They renamed Jay Lethal RPM. We were talking about like JR Lethal before. Now his name is RPM for fucking racing, right? And fucking
yeah.
Dubai. And so now you got
With you and Jay Lethal racist.
With what?
Never mind.
And you talk about Aaron Aguilera, Sanjay Dutt. I mean, and you got, you know, so now you've got, he goes by Swag Dutt and. Oh, my God. It's just... You had RPM beating Daivari, Dubai, and so now they get a point, and then Eric Aguilera gets a point beating Dutt, you know, and then Dutt wins an Ultimate X match, which was, like, 20 points, and then it's like a steering wheel instead of an X. It's just stupid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, are you serious, bro?
Steering
wheel instead of an X for an Ultimate X, and it's even Steven booking, and you got these four wrestlers who appear to be the entire roster, even though they're wrestling for their teams.
Yeah.
You know, I can't... I mean, I don't want to watch 5-minute matches with four falls in them. It's crazy.
No, it sounds like a circus show versus anything else. And I mean, yeah, it's just awful.
I know they're thinking to themselves, we're going to do a fast-paced, speed-based product.
Spot fest.
I don't think that's...
Riley?
I think it's pretty much proven that that is not long-term, a lot of legs, or what people want. I'm hoping this is just a pilot. We don't know if this is going to be shown past this or what the fuck.
I think by looking at this, I would be very surprised. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that because there's a lot of TV channels out there.
How many people came down for a taping of that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and I have no idea. But, I mean, there's camera angles and shit. I mean, this thing was taped on, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, I think, almost now. So it's... Or maybe it was a week, I don't remember. But it was, regardless, really sounds like junk. And if it gives these guys a check, these four guys, but, I mean, if you're going to have teams, then conceivably you have to have more than just... these guys.
Yeah, more than four men on the roster.
Yeah, like,
that's just brutal.
I don't know what they're doing here. To me, I don't know, and if you're going to break away with some auto...
And there's some talent there, and yet, talk about fucking it up.
Well, I don't know about fucking it up. It's, again, if you're... Let's just say this is a half-an-hour show. Again,
yeah.
we don't know. If there's a half-hour show on the Speed Network, and you got, two 5-minute matches and an Ultimate X match, that's, you know... Let's say 17 minutes of wrestling, or let's say it's 15 minutes of wrestling. Let's say the Ultimate X is 5 minutes. So you get 15 minutes of wrestling. With commercials, it'd be a 23-minute show, and you're going to go back with some... They're going to put this in with some auto racing, right? So to me, this is going to be a cruiserweight auto racing version of Wrestlicious.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't remember what it was called, but there was the Wrestling Society X or whatever. on.
It was called Wrestling Society X.
Did I get it right? Okay, on MTV. We're talking about your Teddy Hart. You know, I mean, again, it's somebody. Because he was there, as was Aguilera.
Waste of breath on that guy.
Yeah, he's okay. Anyway.
He's Jim Rome of wrestling.
All right, I'm not going to go there, but.
Good.
But someday we'll have him on as a guest on the show, though.
No, we won't.
Oh, we fucking will.
Jim Rome?
No. Well, both.
No.
Both Jim Rome and Teddy Hart.
I'm not giving Teddy Hart airtime. Let's go.
No, but that was somebody trying to take established things and make a new twist on it, and it didn't work. I mean, sometimes, I'm not really sure this All Wheels is supposed to. It won't appeal to wrestling fans. It won't appeal to NASCAR fans. So I'm not really sure who it's supposed to appeal to.
Yeah, well, and again, I said, if there's 3 5-minute matches, that's 15 minutes. If you're going to race, if you're going to pump in some interviews with
they would
race
be better
car
off
drivers,
doing having the little people wrestle again or something.
Yeah, yeah, the pint-sized brawlers or whatever it is here. But, I mean, whatever. There's so many channels out there, so much time to fill with the Speed Network or whatever, that if they do it and it gets picked up for a little while, well, great, and it gets Dutt and Daivari, and well, if it gets Dutt, Lethal, and Aaron Aguilera paycheck, I don't know about Daivari because he was such a shitty guest for us, but I do think
I thought he said a lot.
Nah.
No.
He was a dick.
I'm going to get him back.
But, yeah, I know. He'll probably get something on his back, but it's...
You take him from the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've paid my debt to society. But when you look at this and how long it's going to go, you're right. This isn't competition. This isn't anything but a tiny little niche product that's going to get some people paid for a little while, and then it's going to be over. So
yeah, no, we've talked about it too much.
We really have.
And cocaine's a hell of a drug. Mm. Anyways, let's. You want a topic? You got a topic? What do you want to do here?
Well, let us talk about. Hi, my name is Johnny Ass. Is this Trevor Murdoch? Would you like a job? I would like a job. Thank you, Johnny S. Huh, just kidding.
Yeah.
So Trevor Murdoch, not signed by WWE.
No, and we are going to have him on as a guest as soon as he can clear his schedule here in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I guess it will be free now.
Apparently
but
it will
But we
be.
Talked about how they hired him and how they – first he had a tryout. We talked about how he wasn't going to come in and go to the top of the card. But he's one of those guys who's a veteran guy. He's been wrestling for a decade.
Well, I wouldn't call him a veteran guy, but he was a guy
He's been wrestling for a decade.
Yeah. Well, he's good mid-card filler.
Yeah, exactly. Good mid-card filler. Can hopefully a veteran hand to work with some of their younger performers. A good guy and somebody we could have seen in the U.S. IC title range. And, they hired him. And then they called him and said, we changed our mind.
Yes. And we don't know necessarily why at this point they changed their mind. I mean, if it wasn't
for steroids.
But how do you know?
I mean,
not steroids, but something. And I don't want to start that speculation because we don't have any of that, anything that way. I'm just saying we don't know.
Looks to me like he has a lot of wheat in his belly.
I don't want to get into... but you know what? A lot of wheat in his belly was JVD. Did he pass a wellness policy?
Mm-mm.
No. So I'm just saying that we can't really. I mean, on the surface, I will say first off, on the surface, this sounds like an absolutely asinine idea. And this
why it's Johnny Asinine.
Yeah, exactly. But this also sounds like something that he would do because, you know, whenever Johnny Ass does something and you hear it and it sounds stupid, you tend to give the other guy the benefit of the doubt because Ass has a track record of doing stupid things, right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't get the benefit
of
the doubt anymore.
Well, it's an upcoming feature. Someday we'll do the Johnny Ass dumb move
of the week. Yeah. But... I still think that there is that possibility that there's something there that we don't know of as to why he didn't get hired, but we don't know, and all we know is that he was supposed to come in, and now he's not, and that on the surface, it really is too bad.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, got something else?
Please, go ahead.
All right, let's go with. I got a game. Want to play a new game?
Let's play a game. Yeah, because we're gonna have a guest on as well.
Yeah,
a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, a couple Hall of Famers perhaps I have on the line, but we only probably have time for one I know of.
Okay.
But let's get to the guest here.
You want to do the guest?
Or no, let's get to the game. Sorry,
my mistake. Game.
Let's play the game.
Okay.
Speaking of playing the game, our upcoming guest.
I don't ruin it.
No.
Well, we don't have him on the line yet, so I hate to give him away until we actually
Get him, right? Yeah, in case he doesn't show up.
That's right.
That's right.
You imagine?
In case he doesn't, because he's a showstopper, and I'd hate it if he didn't show up.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Okay, let's get to the game here. I have a new game, and it's called Healer Face. And what I do is I'm just going to throw a name out to you, and you're not going to guess. You don't have to guess if they're Healer Face right now. That's not what it is, because especially in the world of TNA, that would be
impossible.
I was
going to say, that could change.
I just want to know, when I throw a name out to you, you're going to tell me if they should be a Healer Face and why, or a tweener even. And let's just go from there.
So I'm not a big fan of tweeners, so
I'm not either. You have to really, really pick those. So let's just throw a name out there: Wade Barrett.
Tweener, no. Wade Barrett, I think, is just a natural heel. Okay. I think he's got that an arrogant smugness about him that I just, you know, I can't see. I mean, I could see cheering for the guy in a way that he got to be, you know, one of those. He doesn't have that. I'll never like this guy deal, but he is such a smug guy that I think he plays a better heel.
Daniel Bryan.
Babyface. He's too good. You know, and he's someone that you know, I think of he who should not be named, I think of Chris Benoit, and then I thought Benoit was a better babyface than a heel, even though they did try both. And Benoit, and this sounds horrible in hindsight, but Benoit had an intensity that Brian doesn't have or hasn't shown. So he did make the ability to be a heel. I'm dancing around my words here because I wanted to say killer heel. But it was something.
But you wouldn't say that.
But thank God I didn't go there, huh?
Yeah.
But no, I just that. You know what I mean, though. That it was a rabid Wolverine, and that was, you know, just he could do that. Where
the Canadian crippler.
Where Brian didn't have that, or hasn't shown me that. So I think Brian's a better babyface.
In the one moment where he was choking John Cena and said, "You think you're better than me?" Maybe I might have seen a hint of it. I would have him as a heel, but that's, you know, I'm not the one playing the game.
Nope.
Matt Morgan.
So shut up. Is retired count. Matt Morgan to me is a heel. He's a monster heel. He's a Hogan era heel.
Okay.
He's a guy that I take, and I can't use him. He's in TNA, but if he was in WWE, because they don't really have this. But if he was in, because John Cena, you know, has got that sort of Hulk Hogan, you know, Superman deal going on, right? So he'd be a guy that if I was lining people up in front of John Cena for him to knock down, you know, in the level of a Bundy and a one-man gang and things like that, then I would have Matt Morgan do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Beth Phoenix.
You know, I mean, that's tough because she's really softened her look since like Glamorella and such, and she's hot.
Yeah, she is.
So, but I would say heel just because she's a little bit different, and they have enough of the Barbies, you know, in WWE. So she has that difference that could be heel now with Awesome Kong if she's in, if Karma comes back. Because she's a chameleon, she comes and goes. She comes and goes. But if Karma comes in and is the heel, but who knows now that she's a baby, whatever, right? I'd like to see those matches. And either role could be reversed, but one has to be a big killer, and the other one has to be the monster that can stop the killer.
Okay.
Godzilla versus Mothra.
Okay. Christopher Daniels.
I liked Christopher Daniels as a heel. We saw him in Ring of Honor as a heel there. We saw him. I liked that little deal where he had that his symbol painted over his eye, and he was trying to go after Sting, even though they dropped that and fucked that up. I liked that, and so I've always enjoyed his work as a heel.
Okay. Mickey James.
Mickey James. Well, I don't like country music, so heel.
That works for me. Rey Mysterio.
Rey's a baby face. He just sells the masks. That's his role. He's, you know, I don't know that I Part of me says maybe him as a heel would be different, but I don't necessarily think that he's, I can't picture him as a baby, or as a heel rather, going, you know, that's really invigorated my like for Rey Mysterio as a character again. I think if he turned heel, I'd go, oh, Rey's a heel, huh, and Rey's a baby face now, huh. So,
yeah.
Sell the masks and be a babyface.
Kofi Kingston.
He's a babyface. He's a high flying, get the crowd behind you babyface. Boom, boom, boom. Like, you just got that energy, that excitement. That he is the pick me up on the crowd.
Just to play devil's advocate, don't you think you could have said that about R-Truth?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. That's very true. And. R-Truth, though, has got, and you know what, and Kofi might be able to pull it off. I just, you know, it's just, Kofi's style is more high-flying than Truth. You know, Truth had that Attitude Era flying, mm-hmm. You know, where it was basically a ground game in that hardcore type style, right, the back then with the trash cans and shit, that he kind of stood out like Booker did by being able to come off the rope a little bit and by doing, you know, an axe kick and such, or an ass kick, as we would call it. But Kofi jumps and leaps into
splits and
stuff.
If you were to spell axe kick, how would you do it?
Hmm? Oh, A-S-K-K-ick.
Nice. Yeah. K-quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how about
Get
Bret
your
Hart?
Hat rack cracked.
Bret Hart.
Well, Bret Hart was a better heel. That U.S. stuff. Where,
but what about today? What's he to be today?
Oh, what's he to be today? Well, he's a baby face. He's a legendary baby face.
Okay.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. All right. If he was to return, Batista.
Big Wave Dave. Dave was a better. He was coming in as to his own as a heel there when he left. So I think you have to really return there. I don't want to call him a tweener, but Batista is a guy that can do both. And it's, to me, it's if he should return, as you said, you know, it's whatever role needs filling. Is really what it is. So I think it's just a matter of when you look. Like right now, I guess they could use a baby face, couldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess I got to go with baby face there.
Okay. Upon or speaking of since we have Bret Hart shortly or just a couple ago, let's stay on that and go with Natalya Neidhart.
She's a face. She's a face. She is one that, again, you talk about standing up to the bully because she can work and she's got that. I think that she's the one to be able to do that.
Okay.
And she just she's too happy with her cat Gizmo and such.
Hey, just beer money.
Beer money. I like them better as heels.
Okay.
I just like that "sorry about your damn luck" as, you know, as a heel phrase, and just the attitude and the beer bottle over the head and just Robert Roode, I always thought, had a better kind of arrogance to him that way as well.
It's
so
funny because if they were to split apart, I think of myself as Roode as a heel and Storm
and
as a
Storm
face.
Storm as a baby face, maybe. Yes, I could see that. But together, collectively, I think heel.
Samoa Joe.
We just said I'm not a big fan of a tweeners. I won't use the word tweener as much as I'll use the word loner.
Mm.
Just kind of like a... I mean, I think he would become a babyface, as he did. But, I mean, this, the undefeated Samoan submission machine is how I remember Samoa Joe and how I think Samoa Joe should be used. Is just as an ass kisser, kicker, mm-hmm. Not an ass kisser. Not like Hogan and Dwayne. But an axe kicker, and I just think that that would translate probably immediately. Initially, you got to kind of come off heelish to be an ass kicker. Holy shit, an ass kicker.
You're turning into me.
Bad, bad, bad. I know. I've gained 20 pounds since we started this show. But
fucking weed.
I think that it would be, what's barley here, I think, and hops. But I think that he would eventually become a face just through being an axe kicker.
Ass kicker. We've seen that many times.
Yeah.
Big Show.
Would I rather have Big Show as a heel or a face? We've said retired isn't an option, right? Again, he's similar to Batista. I don't know that he's done either one better. I think he was a monster heel when he was younger. But at this particular point and stage, it's whatever
role.
He's
had two good heel runs in his career, I see. When he first was the first, the Giant, and was the WWE
and Paul
WCW
Heyman.
Champion, and Paul Heyman.
Exactly. And Paul Heyman when he's wearing the suits and had the short haircut and whatnot. Yeah. And then and talk about babyface, I mean, he when he was the showster, and he was being funny, and that...
Knucklehead.
And knucklehead.
Well, funny.
Yeah, I said funny, so that doesn't count. But I mean, so it's again. Batista does a better job of it, I think, at this point. But really, for Big Show, it's you plug whatever need you have at that point.
William Regal,
heel. Okay. He had an opportunity to be a good babyface, I thought, with the Eugene storyline that he was going to use. He was going to be able to come out of that as the protector and a big babyface, but they blew that.
But he's just damn funny.
Well, he is, but. But he's got the look and the power of the punch and such he can use. He's just a better heel.
Okay. Scott Steiner.
Speaking of heels that are funny.
Yeah.
And again, I just... Scott Steiner, I don't care. Again, when I say retired isn't an option, I think it should be now.
Should be. Eric Bischoff.
He's a heel.
Mean. Hulk Hogan.
Face.
Okay. Face, really? Okay.
Hogan? Yeah.
Okay.
Just let him be cheered and let him be a figurehead and let him ride off into the sunset or just hang around. But this whole heel Hulk Hogan, it worked once to turn him heel, mm-hmm. and he went back babyface. But the guy's the iconic childhood hero of the 80s. Okay, and so you just got to, right now, again, when I said with Bret Hart, all-time legend there, I mean, even though Hogan is actually behind the scenes an asshole, and in real life, as you listen to The Ultimate Warrior and stuff, and has lived his life, he really is an out-for-himself sort of egomaniac with no real grasp of actual reality. The fact is when he's on TV in a professional wrestling show, he should just be the glorified and revered Hulk Hogan, who doesn't wrestle but just gets to come out, do the posing, do the figureheady interview, what you gonna do, and leave.
What Michael Jordan is if the NBA trots him out.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, that type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, two more.
The Babe Ruth, exactly. As they keep saying. Right?
Exactly. Two more.
Okay.
Sheamus?
Oh, fella. Oh. You know what? I think Sheamus is going to have a great run as a babyface.
I do too.
I just see that. He's got to be a heel for a little longer, I think, and just kind of solidify. But I think he will have a great run.
Okay, last one. John Morrison.
Babyface. With that parkour, innovative offense, you know. I think, you know, the innovator of offense or whatever, that's a baby face to me.
Don't you think there's just something about his personality or look that can rub people the wrong way, though?
Well, there could, especially if you're a Canadian woman. But I think that, you could. I mean, I'm not saying that he could do this. I just think that how I utilize him best is as a, is this innovative offense. Babyface is what he's known for.
Okay, great. All right, I think that was a fun game. We'll hit some more of that in the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons more
names, absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
So, good. Well, that was a good game. Let's look at, we talked briefly last show.
And I spent hours coming up with the name, Healer Face.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not very bright.
No, I know. But you're fat. I read that on our website.
Oh, I'm... Wheat pulls the brain down.
Sort of lost on everything with the CM Punk promo that we didn't really get to talk about on the Raw Roulette. We talked about this past Raw, largely throwaway, 4th of July, you know, had the Alex Riley beating The Miz, had Vicky Guerrero gets cake in the face, you know, and Sergeant Slaughter's on there because it's 4th of July, taking a doctor bomb, which it hit age.
The creative team, the writers were tired at this point.
Yes, the writers. But Raw Roulette, I just want to mention a couple things because we did a 90-minute show almost on Raw, or about the things that was the – I just thought Booker T as the spinner host
– Perfect.
Was fucking awesome.
Perfect, absolutely.
Just, that's his role, man, just back behind – just because he got to spit out the cliches and like a –
he doesn't do that.
A game show type situation. Oh, it was just hilarious.
If he had been hosting Downfall, it'd still be on the air.
Yes, maybe. Maybe. But DDP, our good friend, Diamond Dallas Page there.
Yeah.
We talked about in our interview, which was done, of course, before he was on Raw, Yeah, and I asked him. You know, because in the DVD, for those who haven't seen it, at the end, there's lots more for a part two, a volume two, right? So I asked him, I said, any talk of a volume two? And he said, just if it sells. He goes, but they had the Monday Night War, which they promoted the hell of. And he said, I don't see any promotion coming for this Best of Nitro. And then, lo and behold, there he is, he says that one week, and the next week there he is in Vegas on Raw promoting the Best of Nitro for just, a brief segment. So I thought that was kind of funny that he would say,
Yeah, but it's
hard
to imagine that selling more than, like, 5 copies.
What?
I mean, just the way they did it, it's not like the DVD was just kind of a throwaway thing at the end of the segment.
Yes, it was. You're
right. It wasn't like...
I don't know that that was any better than the commercials that they put on, going to break and stuff about it. But,
yeah,
you know,
no, it really wasn't. I will say this. I do think Shawn Michaels, you had him kicking the tag team champions and kicking...
Drew.
I mean, I know he's the champion, or Hall of Famer, sorry, but it continues the process of if you ever want to push this guy and have people take him serious, you can't do this. I think it was one thing when the comedy guys were Patterson and Briscoe because they were retired wrestlers and it didn't hurt them. When you do comedy around a young guy who you still hope will someday draw some money for you, or you hope you can find a right angle or gimmick for,
mm-hmm.
and you do this, it just hurts them. I think they just got to get out of that mentality. I know it's Shawn Michaels, but it doesn't matter. He's retired. He's with two other retired guys. It just – there's no upside to it.
No, I can agree with you there. I don't know that it necessarily – I mean, does that mean you can't, make Drew McIntyre a star? Did that mean you couldn't make Drew McIntyre a star? No.
At a certain point, it does. Too many times, if you do this to a character, you can't.
Sure. But is that too many times? Does that really matter? They're going to make Drew McIntyre a star. I don't know that. I don't think that it's. It's not a good thing, obviously. But I didn't take it as the there goes his career kind of
thing.
It's
one thing when it was Michael Cole or the coach backstage, and it was The Rock.
What about David Otunga?
Well, I mean, he shouldn't even be on the roster.
Well, there you go. But, I mean, to me...
If he is going to have the tag team champions, they shouldn't do it to him.
What does a tag team championship mean, right?
That's
a little bit of a different issue.
Again,
but go back
in our archives, folks. We once talked about when the tag team titles and the IC titles were at their peak and what they meant. And what it would take to get them back there. Go back into our archives. There's a lot of great discussion in our archives on WeTalkWrestling.com, and you can find it there. Of course, you can also find it on Podomatic, but WeTalkWrestling.com. Go and see about the hosts, email us, Twitter us, different comments, but exclusive blogs and content and everything. WeTalkWrestling.com, part of WeTalk Podcast.
Yes, well, I went to talk about DDP, and you went into shameless self-promotion mode there.
Fuck yeah.
So there you go.
You know what? I know we have a lot more listeners now than we once did. We've always been very happy with how we've done. We have a lot more listeners than we once did, and we're really proud of some of those old shows, and hope you'll give them an opportunity. I think you'll find some great shit in there.
So WeTalkWrestling.podomatic.com is where you'll find all of our old shows, or if you go to iTunes and we search for We Talk Wrestling, you can subscribe and get all the shows. All the shows yet at this point aren't in the archives of We Talk wrestling.com yet. They're coming, but they're not there yet. So
I'm hoping, Well, we have a tech guy, and he's really, really good. And except for that part where you put about the hosts.
Ooh, tech guy is really, really good. Who's that?
You.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The man. We've done the game. We've talked a little bit about that. You mentioned somebody super kicking Drew McIntyre around. Did you want to try to get him on the line?
I'll fucking call him
You want to fucking call him right now?
Fuck. What's his phone number?
I'll call him. All right, so if you want
to... I got him. Ahead. He's on the line.
You get him on the line. Are you there? Shawn Michaels, you're there. Hello.
Sean. This is We Talk Wrestling.
This is We Talk Wrestling. Sean, right. Is this Shawn Michaels?
This is the headliner, the showstopper, the main event, the icon that can still go.
Nice. So does that mean you're coming back?
Is
that
no.
Oh. Oh, I got excited for a moment.
Yeah, hey, well, I heard that about you and my playgirl.
You know what? I was just... It wasn't. It was still.
Hunter told me women look at that.
Yeah. No. It's women. It's women. It's.
That's what he told me.
Yeah. Well, you were luckily still clothed.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You've seen it.
All right, Sean. So what do you got going on? I know you got a hunting show going on.
I have my new show on the Outdoor Life Network. I'm out there right now. As I'm talking to you here, I'm hunting away, and you know it's a beautiful day for hunting. Yeah, right there.
What the hell? What was that? What are you hunting?
I just hit a moose.
That didn't sound like a moose.
That was a moose. Oh. That was a moose. Go. Can you go check that? Can you go check that? Here, I'm with my buddy here.
You're not hunting by yourself. You're out with
friend? You never hunt alone, Mo. You never hunt alone.
You with
alone.
Hunter?
I know I'm not with Hunter.
He doesn't like to hunt.
He doesn't. No, he's gonna go look for alligators with me on my show. But no, I am with my buddy here. Say hi, buddy.
Stumpy, the stump shooting champion of Texas.
Ah, he sure is.
He's Stumpy the stump.
Stumpy, baby.
That's who you're hunting with, is it?
I'm hunting with
Stumpy because was there an accident?
I am hunting with Stumpy. I was hunting Stumpy one time, which is why he's Stumpy.
Moose.
Moose. I got to tell you, you got to eat everything you kill because the people from PETA were trying to ram things down my throat.
Oh, those bastards.
Those bastards.
So what's your favorite weapon to use when you're hunting there?
I got my bow and arrow. I've got my shotgun that I'm using right now. And you talk about you guys out of Calgary. I am a sharpshooter.
You're a sharpshooter.
I'm a sharpshooter, as is Stumpy.
Stumpy, nice. So what else you got going on? Anything else you want to plug?
Well, have you ever heard of the book, The Most Dangerous Game?
The most dangerous. Well, hold on. The most dangerous game is man, isn't it?
Most dangerous game. Well, the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels, is hunting the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. I'm going hunting after Ken. I've had to tell him what to do. He's agreed to it. He's not very good, but...
Da!
Ha! Got him. I got me Ken Shamrock.
You don't lay down your rifle for anyone, do you?
The Heartbreak Kid lays his rifle down for absolutely nobody. I'm just out here now. There's some wild gazelle, and I am going to hunt and kill the wild gazelle. Got him.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, thanks very much, guys.
Wow, He's packing some serious heat for a show. You know what? A show where he's hunting Ken Shamrock, I'll watch.
I think so. I think I will. Well, I hope Ken's okay though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've never met a guy named Ken I like.
That's true. That's true.
Anyways, anything else you want to hit here? Should we go out with the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the
week?
Let's forget the other guest until next time.
Maybe next time we can hit that. We're at about an hour 20 here. So why don't we do, it seems to be a tradition here now of wrapping up with the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, but why don't we hit the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week?
This week's Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week. This one's particularly great. In the 1990s, the Rolling Stones needed a bassist. Okay. And in the 90s, also at one point, a bassist was needed by Metallica. And he sent feelers out through his agent to both of them that he would come and be their bassist.
Really?
And if they had accepted, he would have given up the wrestling industry forever.
Forever. Wow. And they decided not to
reason they didn't take him up for it.
No.
Hard to believe. No. You know, fucking would have loved to have seen him up there playing with Metallica.
No. Maybe the Rolling Stones though. In the '90s, him and the Rolling Stones, maybe. But Metallica.
Well, actually, I'd like to see him with the Rolling Stones now. He would actually perhaps be the most mobile member of the band.
He very well could be, and done just as many drugs.
And shared his wife with just as many people, too.
There you go. All right.
We're OUT. Let's bounce.
You already did the plugs there. It's Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com to email me. Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com to email Mo. Tell me he's fat. Do whatever you want. www.WeTalkWrestling.com is where you can catch all the latest shows. And I said archives are going up there. We're at iTunes as well, so just type in WeTalkWrestling.com, and we're on Twitter, so tweet, I'm on the Twitter all the time there, so if you tweet me, the odds are you'll get a tweet back pretty quick. So
yeah, that's right. And other than that, is the show over? Are we off?
We're going out here.
Have you got any wheat thins?
No. Later. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.